Yeah, so why don't you just come over here, Benicio, and touch my shoulder?
It's fucking disgusting.
Remember when we had that discussion in high school where we were disappointed that we were too old to let a man pay us $10,000 to show him our penis?
Was that when were we over in Wagga?
At Domino's.
We were, in one of the many trips where at least, so there was four of us in the car typically, two of them were in year 12 and we were in year 11,
mm-hmm.
and either we had a free period or they had a free period, but never all four of us at once, yet all four, all five of us would continue to go to Wagga and buy Domino's.
All exclusively. Skip periods of school.
Mm.
But anyway.
Come over, get a Domino's pizza and an extra large Coke from McDonald's.
And there was an older gentleman who took interest one day.
I completely forgot.
That's what prompted that comment.
So, I don't remember it as much as you do. What happened?
Well, one of us, I know it wasn't me, and it might have been you, but I don't think it was. One of us gave him our email address.
It wasn't either of us. Another member of the group.
An elusive member of the group? Who maybe piloted the vehicle or not?
No.
Nah, okay.
The other one.
The one that we do not speak of? Yeah, wow. That's strange. But I remember hearing that and almost being jealous because I'm like, fuck, I'd at least show him my penis
$10,000. Did you tell the part where it was for $50, wasn't it?
$50 for the email address.
Yeah, and he gave him his email. But I think he even made that up. Or did he give him his brother's email?
I'm sure he wouldn't have given him a fucking actual email address.
But I wish we had one of them to corroborate the story.
Yeah.
Because it did happen. I don't know how the conversation started, but it was just in the street.
Yeah, it was outside the table waiting for Domino's. And I mean, outside at the table.
Just chatting to two teenage boys and then got an email address.
Yeah, for $50.
Yeah.
And that's what, if he's willing to pay $50 for an email address, imagine what he'd pay to watch me take my shirt off. But I was too old.
Easy
money. You've got your boundaries.
Yeah.
But
we definitely, it's weird. We definitely, like now, I wouldn't do that because I'm like, that's really fucked up.
Yeah, obviously, but I wouldn't ever like to normalize something now.
Yeah.
But when I'm in year 11.
Yeah, when we were idiot kids, I was like, oh, yeah, I'd do that. We just wanted money.
Going through our head, are we still kids? Are we still young enough? I was definitely too hairy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We both he definitely went after the
baby face.
The prettiest one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It must be really easy to exploit kids. I don't know why everyone gets so freaked out going, like, that they have to warn people about stranger danger and all that sort of thing. And it's like, you can do all of that, but we want money or we want lollies, and it's just not that hard. Depending on how young the predator is going, they're going to be able to.
Exactly. It's for them, though, the risk versus reward is possibly the most extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the risk is that everyone will hate you for the rest of your life and want you to die in prison.
Yeah. And that's minimum. That's the softest idea that's going to be directed at you.
But the rewards are obvious.
All right, what do we got?
Bit of Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. You'll enjoy this.
We don't smoke marijuana. Take no trips on LSD.
I've got a real...
While the violin player behind him is rubbing his nose like a coke addict.
Look who's on the stage.
We like living right and being free.
I've got a real country itch every now and then.
We don't make no...
They make a cream for that.
We like holding hands.
Ah, I didn't turn it on. There we go. Yeah, that was delayed from the joke.
And we don't let our hair go long and shaggy like the hippies at San Francisco.
Oh, here he comes, Willie Nelson, the longest plaited ponytail ever.
The wave will glory down at the White lightning's still the biggest thrill of all.
Surely he could have put that strap on the guitar before he got out there. He didn't have to.
They always seem like they're not well prepared for the cameo.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen always does it. He comes out like this, like Bruce Springsteen. He comes out and he's going over to the guitarist asking what the chords are and shit. I'm like, surely you had 5 minutes before this fucking performance to learn the basic elements of this song.
Yeah, there's a sound check.
Have a guitar ready. Yeah.
Campus, and the kids there still respect old Jimmy Dean. Proud to be an Okie from Muskogee.
Proud to be an Okie from Muskogee. You know, we're
very American.
First time I ever heard that song, though, after you saying it's very American. Red Cow Hotel, Junie. Always gets a run. Oh, yeah, that would be, they fucking love it.
Yeah,
man.
That would be very. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I've got a soft spot for it. It's great.
No, there's it's a funny collection of pubs over there because yeah, they like all will end up.
Pubs.
More, I think. Well, pubs, yeah. And then there's like there's the club.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. But yeah, country music and then just rock. And then a weird thing
and
of hip hop every
then
now
a
and then.
45-year-old DJ. Who was that fucking DJ?
Who? DJ Off the Hook?
No, he was. I mean, he's a cult figure. Yeah. DJ Off the Hook. But there was another one, DJ Ron or something like that. He was like literally looked like he'd been compressed. Like he's about 5'8" and about 45 years old.
Like a criminal wanted to get rid of him at a chop shop. So he made a cube out of him.
Oh, that'll do. Let him go and be a DJ and embarrass himself for the rest of his life.
So, welcome to Unpleasant. I don't know what episode it is. Probably 10, 11, something like that.
We've got the unpleasantness out of the way, though.
Yeah, we've talked about the pedophile potentially wanting to please a pedophile as teenage boys.
Yeah. Well, they heard it because I was recording.
Yeah,
so.
Good. No, well, I do want to go back to it again, though, because I feel like that discussion isn't done.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I was like, I'd talk to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's it. I know that's so fucked up, but I wanted money.
I think the thing was I was at a point where I could have probably physically stopped him from doing anything, and that gives you a bit more confidence, doesn't it? That lets you toe the line a little bit more.
Yeah,
I think
you'd be you're like a stepping stone for him going into that younger age range where they can't overpower him.
Yeah,
you'd be like, oh, can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
well,
but I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't find myself wondering how far I'd go for money. If you get busted, play the victim card.
That has to have happened.
There would have been a mail trail.
I wonder how many times somebody has known that they're being exploited or whatever and gone along with it because they're like, oh, I can get some shit out of this and, you know, fuck this creep. And then they've just ended up dying.
Mm.
Like they've just been killed or something like that.
I don't want to. That's very grim.
Yeah.
Jim Florentine?
That story was great. Yeah, where a man used to sit on this man's lap and he'd give him wrestling photos.
Yeah.
And it was in the 80s where, you know, it's not as available as it was now. These were like
card trading.
Yeah.
It was every baseball card.
These were like professional photos of the, you know, big name wrestlers and used to sit on his lap.
Yeah. And he
knew kiss him on the ear and everything. He's like, ah. Same thing Rich Voss used to. There's a story that he tells on an old episode of O&A where he, when he was addicted to crack, he would dress up in like tiny little like booty shorts, like cut off denim shorts, and just like hope that the gay drug dealer wanted to fuck him so that he'd get crack for free.
Fuck, he was just that close to being a statistic, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're wearing little booty shorts as a male for free crack off your male drug dealer.
We were just watching Half Baked before, and he goes to rehab. Not rehab, sorry, to like an AA sort of meeting. It just had a rehab sign.
Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah. And he got up and said that he's addicted to marijuana and everyone booed him. They booed him off stage because that's not an addiction. I've sucked dick for crack rocks before. Have you sucked dick for weed? He's like, no, that's not an addiction. And then they booed him off.
Mm.
Well, that's an interesting take.
It is. It could be a dangerous take.
Yeah, it could be.
But
funny.
Yeah, definitely funny.
But definitely that's something that has scared me away from like Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff like that. Like when I gave up alcohol, that was a potential thing to go to a meeting or whatever. Not because I saw myself as a pure alcoholic or anything. Oh, if you want to,
no, that's all right. I haven't got any left.
Oh, yeah, I know that I saw myself, but anyway, it was a thing that I was going to wrap my mind around whether it was something that I was really going to do or not, and I considered it. But then I thought, no, because I've talked to some, I did talk to some people who had, you know, participated in meetings, some people were sponsors and things.
Yep.
And there's a weird, and I might be wrong, this is just my experience, there's a weird thing there where it's like a competitiveness of my rock bottom was much worse than yours, so you don't really have problems.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing, and like that's what I don't understand, is everyone, we all know we're different. We have different personalities and things, but you get it to decide where your rock bottom is, and some people want to judge other people because they didn't go as far.
It's all completely relative.
Mm.
You can't even compare because no one has the same circumstances, and that's certainly not an environment conducive to opening up and facing demons, is it?
Yeah. And it works for some people, and it works a lot of people. But it's definitely a thing, and it can't be for everyone.
Are there religious aspects?
Yeah. There's a big God thing.
That's bizarre to me.
Well, it's like God, but I guess they've dumbed it down enough to sort of disguise it as like a spiritual kind of thing.
Yeah.
The idea of like surrendering yourself to a higher power and that sort of thing. And I go, well, if you're pulling something positive out of it, who gives a fuck?
I agree with that.
And as long as they're not naming, read the Bible.
Exactly.
Say this prayer. Yeah, as long as that they keep that sort of thing away from it, then I go, I understand people who don't want anything to do with it for the religious thing. But it's like, you can ignore that. You can, because it's not down your throat.
Yeah.
So, if you wanted it to be, you can just pull the positive from it and that's it.
Yep.
So, they're standing in their own way.
I noticed that about the Anzac Dawn service too. Basically, 75% of it is just prayers from the Bible.
Mm.
Very bizarre.
And I know what you mean because you want to go, this is fucked up. But then at the same time, how many of those soldiers were religious guys themselves?
So probably not many after the war, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to comprehend. I mean,
especially when you're on the outside, when you've had a glimpse at what everything else is like.
Yeah.
And then you step, because I was raised at a religious school, and and it's only after you step out and then you step back in, you go, holy shit.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about cults.
Yeah.
Because that's interesting. All you got to do is teach people about cults and how they work and how they get in people's heads. And then they just will naturally going to apply that to other situations and think, holy fuck. Like they stand around with a little swinging thingy with smoke coming out of it.
Did they do that in school?
Yeah, like we'd have a mass.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, it's like once or twice a week.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Anoint you with special oils, special oils, holy water. You go, these, like, we're raised with those things, so you don't think that they're as odd as they are. They're really fucking
But surely
weird.
The adults doing that must be like, what the fuck am I doing? Just rubbing this special oil on this school child.
Yeah.
Trying to tell them that it's going to help them.
Well, I did turn a little bit the other way because I went to my niece and nephew's christening.
Mm.
And that was an unnecessary detail, wasn't it? My niece, it just said a christening. That would have been
at a christening.
Yeah.
A religious.
So I've got to, I want to try and rein myself back and just chop out the fat. Anyway, I went to the christening and the priest was just up front and was like, this is a symbol for this.
Yeah.
This is about rebirth. And then when they're older, they can make their own mind up whether this is something they want to pursue further or not. He was very about this isn't a hard line thing, and now this kid is indoctrinated in in our thing for the rest of their life. He's just like, these are all symbols. This is just a tradition kind of thing, and hopefully they be a good person. Like, yeah. It was so much more relaxed. I'm like, okay.
I'll get on board with any system that has that approach.
Yeah.
Anything where they're just like, well, you know, I'll explain what it's all about, and you can make your own decision. No promises or anything like that. I can get on board with that.
Yeah, much more relaxed. Because I like Christopher Hitchens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted... he wrote the book of... how religion poisons everything.
Yep.
God is not great. But I still kind of disagree with that.
Mm.
He makes his point that it can, but I just don't think that it's going to go anywhere. It's the same thing with the guns in America, and people say that we should take the guns off them and everything. And it's like, but that's just look at it logically. That's not going to happen.
Impossible.
There's too many out there. That's a different culture. Yeah, it's not going to work. There's no logistical way that you can take them all off them.
When they did it in Australia, it was like, I'm going to get the figure wrong, but let's just say it was 175,000 firearms. In America, it's about 300 million or something. Just an absurd... Even if everyone did hand their guns in, you can't do anything with them. You can't just destroy them.
Yeah.
There's nothing you... Like, yeah.
It would be a huge thing, and it's... So, yeah, I put those things in the same bracket of they just are. So, we're going to need to do the best thing that we can. And making it as benign as possible is the best way.
That's the goal.
It's the only way. Because a lot of people need it. We're not all the same.
Yeah.
We all think differently. So, we definitely need... some people need that sort of guidance.
Doesn't make their lives any less depressing, though.
Oh, no. But as long as they're away from me, I don't give a fuck.
An insider church.
Yeah, as long as they're doing that.
Yeah.
Saying whatever prayers they want to do, that's fine.
Another thing, obviously, when I was in Italy, I went to a lot of art galleries.
Really?
Italy? Yeah, actually. In Florence, too. Oh. Yeah. The Uffizi? Every solitary piece of art is just about Catholicism.
Yeah.
It's just scenes from the Bible, people from the Bible, everything for hundreds and hundreds of years. Just gets fucking boring.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I was looking at iconic, Leonardo's were pretty good, but everyone else, just, this is from 1568. I should be amazed. I'm like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah,
seen this painting 400 times.
I had the exact same experience.
Yeah.
I took the left door when I should have taken the right door, and I went through I don't know how many rooms before I got to the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah.
And by the time you're there, you've seen 30 rooms that have had amazing paintings on this. And I get it. This is the first one. But I'm going to say it now. Sistine Chapel, thumbs down.
Thumbs down to the Sistine.
I'm going to introduce that. The thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up,
I think that's a really good, unique and original idea.
Yeah, absolutely. It works for
very gentle
local groups on Facebook. And
what do you mean?
And in independent newspapers.
What are you talking about?
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Mm.
I think you've got to be over the age of 60 to use it, though. When you're submitting a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Submitting it to who?
More just in general. When you submit the idea, you've got to be over 60 and a woman. And you've got to be disgruntled.
Are you saying that I'm not a woman?
No, I would never assume one's gender.
That's good. I'm glad
I would never do that.
I'm glad you're on board.
Yeah. You should know me better than that.
I thought I did.
If you're really into thumbs up, thumbs down, I'd like to tell you about my favourite one of all time.
Okay.
Do you have a favourite one?
No, I think it's rubbish and I hate it.
Yeah, good. It was in the Junee Southern Cross. Thumbs up to the person who knocked on my door to let me know that the lounge out the front of my house was on fire. And then literally, so there's the thumbs up and then one line under it is the thumbs down. So thumbs up, thanks to the person knocked on my door, let me know about the fire. Thumbs down to the person who set my lounge on fire on my front fucking veranda.
just a gut feeling that I've got. It was probably them.
Possibly. Or somebody from about three houses down who they owed a cigarette to or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. I mean, this is Junee.
Oh, yeah, June E2.
Yeah. Not that Wog's any better, but...
Oh, no, 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 God, no. But it just makes it more close to home is what I mean.
Yeah. Very interesting. That's the local paper. That's the local publication. That's all we have for our news.
Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God for Jaden Duck giving us the real news.
Oh, Jaden Duck.
He runs like some news Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
It's sensationalised.
Oh.
It's clickbait.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But I mean, he's still fucking doing it, I suppose. Yeah. Weird career path. Well,
that's where I'm at with the whole thing with the media now.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're not going to change it. We're not going to make it less sensationalised.
No.
All we can do is improve ourselves to go, all right, I'm just going to fucking ignore this shit.
Just be smarter.
Just get as many people to go, yeah, no, I'm not going to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
And the problem solved because we can't get them to change. It's just not going to happen.
Doesn't take much effort either to just seek out.
I'm not clicking those outrage articles anymore because I'm just not. All the power is in how many times their page gets read.
It's
all advertising revenue. So I'm not going to pay attention to it.
It's just a repetitive little. I don't even know what to call it. It's like working in a fucking factory, really. You just pump out shit. You get the clicks.
Yeah. Gavin McInnes tells a story all the time about an outrage article written about him. Mm. And he saw the author at like a party or something like that. And he was like, what the fuck? What's this? And he's like, man, I don't even remember writing that. Yeah. I probably had like 5 due that day. So this was the journalist, and he was saying,
yeah.
"Oh, we've you've got deadlines for X amount of blogs or articles or anything." And he's like, "There's, I don't even. You just make you find something, you run with it, and then you move on." So these articles that are outrage articles that everyone jumps on board with, the person who wrote it doesn't even give a fuck.
Exactly.
They're just hoping that it'll take off, and
their boss doesn't give a fuck.
No. And then whoever's the victim of it, whoever's going to be the victim of the outrage, that might actually affect their life.
The most irritating trend I've found in articles at the moment is they'll preface it with, you've been doing X wrong this whole time. You know, you've been making Milo wrong this whole time. You've been making spaghetti bolognese wrong this whole time. It infuriates me. I fucking hate it.
But there's a certain type of person out there who will eat that up and go, oh, now I know the right way. I'm better than everyone else.
Yeah, and I can tell people, actually, you know, you're not making that right. Mm. This is how you do it.
Really? Because I'm going to strain this spaghetti out, and then I'm going to pour the boiling water over your face.
So, a woman said to me the other day, cooking pasta in a lot of water is outdated. What planet?
No, that is nonsense.
One second here.
You're right.
All right.
Should we take a quick break?
No, we'll keep going.
If you need another beer or anything. Oh, sorry, you said you're out.
All right.
What's the solution to that? I don't understand. What an odd thing to take a stance on.
It's just dry pasta then. It's just dry, stiff, uncooked.
Oh, is that, so she wasn't even, didn't even want to cook it?
No, well, we were cooking. It was at work. Just so you're not trying to piece together. We cook them. There just wasn't enough water because we're trying to cook heaps of it and there wasn't enough water and I was getting annoyed. She's like, no, cooking pasta in a lot of water is outdated anyway. I just left it because I've got better things to do. I got a job to do. But in my mind, I just wanted to stop everything and go, what the fuck do you mean?
Was it a joke?
No, it wasn't a joke. Because
that's a pretty funny joke to say.
Yeah, it would have been funny, like annoying.
Yeah, that's outdated anyway.
Yeah, but she wasn't. And I just wanted to stop and go, what do you mean? Are you just trying to fill silence here or what then? I should have just poured all the water in the sink and just served it up. And there you go. There's some fucking hard pasta for everybody. It's outdated. We're very modern here.
Mm.
We're ahead of the times.
Jesus Christ.
So, that's the most irritating trend for me. And it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's on Vice. It's on Dig. It's on all the Facebook popular publications. Yeah,
that's all one thing to me, Facebook, Dig.
Yeah, it is. Well, it probably is. It is, isn't it? It must be just one thing. It's all using one algorithm, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I almost shit myself today.
Mm-hmm.
You
haven't shit yourself since 2016, have you?
No. No.
Yeah, okay.
It's been good. Yeah, so I've had a pretty good run.
Yeah, well.
By the Crohn's standard.
Yeah.
So I was at the Blessed Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, we live, you know, 4 or 5 blocks away. And
we're close.
I didn't make it home. I had to stop in at the public toilet and go, because I, like, I've stiff legged it before.
And don't you just always stiff leg?
No, that's a stiff back. It's the closest I've been to shitting myself ever. Like, the previous shittings were, I was sick.
Yeah.
You know, I was genuinely ill. Not and so it was like an accident. It. I thought it was a fart, you know. Typical things, they happen to everybody.
Was there a nanosecond where you accepted it and you were planning for post shit in pants?
I don't think I reached the point where I accepted it,
yeah.
But I had plans.
I had plans
in place, because I had a shirt on underneath my jacket, and I'm like, worst comes to worse, I can take the shirt off, wrap it around if something, if something happens.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this wasn't, because I wasn't sick, I didn't have that luxury of it being liquid.
Mm.
It was going to be a big old
turd.
Yeah.
Turd in your undies.
Yep.
That is truly shit. Here's
the worst part, too,
is
I didn't have undies on.
Why?
No, it was, you know, I was doing laundry.
It was freezing.
I had to get out the door quick.
Yeah.
So.
You know there's a toilet at the Blessed Bean.
No, I don't. No, I did not.
That's open to the public.
Is it?
Yes. As soon as you said the Blessed Bean, I was like, there's a fucking toilet.
Because I was there.
That would have been a stressful walk too.
And then I'm like, I had to get, I was leaving anyway because I was on my way.
Yeah.
And, usually, I'm pretty good with timing it, because, you know, I got to know. I know my body from the Crohn's. I know.
You shit yourself last year. I mean, you're on. This is something you think about more often than the normal person. Well,
in my defence, I did. All right. For anyone listening, I did.
97 people have downloaded our show, so yeah, someone's listening.
Yeah, someone. You know what? There's a surprising amount from the UK.
Really
odd.
Hello, it's probably Tommy Robinson, because when we were talking about Islam in the first few shows,
anything to do with Islam, and Tommy's with Islam, straight away. He probably just saw our beards. He'll be knocking on our door next week.
Yeah. Hello, Adam and Milk. Please answer your door and talk about your beliefs.
because I didn't call him a cunt on Twitter.
Yeah, true. We could get him to come here when he's in Australia. We'll belittle him and get him to come here and interview him.
Yeah,
we'll lure him in.
He'll just come and tough talk us. In my defense for previous shittings,
mm-hmm.
I was sick. I was very sick at the time. And it was an accident. It was a little bit, nothing bad, nothing, like, it wasn't a major cleanup. Like, I could have got away, I did shower afterwards, but I could have got away with not even showering afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it was just a
You'd
little-
You'd want to, though,
it
had,
yeah, I did, yeah, I did. Yeah. But, it happens, you know.
It happens every 5 years or so, yeah.
Well, look, it was twice within a couple of months, and both times I was sick. And I still think that's better than if I had shat myself twice in a 48-hour window.
Mm.
If it was within that, then that's bad. Then I haven't learned my lesson.
Yeah.
But over that length of time, there's a little bit of extra room for accidents.
Yeah. I'll piss myself in the next 5 years.
You reckon?
Yeah. Well, in 5 years, I'll be 31 years old. I'll piss myself. Because I've got to the toilet within the last 2 years, and, like, just as I'm about to unzip, like, I'm just, there's little squirts.
It's all right.
Like, I don't want, a squirt makes you think like a squirt gun. It's more just a little, you know, you let the clamp off for a second. You know
really?
What I mean?
That surprises me.
I've always had a small... I don't know if I have a small bladder or just a not good bladder. I'll have one piss per one beer. Every one beer I have, I'll do a piss or two.
I don't know if that's a unit of measurement. But
it is. Well, that's how I measure things. This morning, I had a coffee and a glass of water, and I pissed like 3 times before lunch. Between 9 and 12.
Now
they were like clear, like water.
So that, All right, now I've got to pose a question to you because, all right, so the layout of, for anyone listening, the layout of where we live, there's a hallway and then a right turn and then there's a door immediately to the right that you have to walk through to get to the toilet.
Mm.
Now, when I'm on the way there, now this is what I mean when it's an empty house or like, you know, yeah, if it's just us here or whoever's here is in the lounge room. The belt's undone in that hallway.
Yeah.
That button is undone in that hallway.
Yeah.
I'm at the very least reaching in by the time I get to the door. Even if it's not an emergency, it's just a comfort thing. I'm on my way. I'm already doing it on the way there. How early are you out? You have to, you must be over the toilet.
Well, I should stress that this is like, it's usually when I can't just get to a toilet easily. So I've never just been in at home and going, oh, I need to do a piss. And I'm almost pissing my pants by the time I take 15 steps.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. I never really...
Because I thought about it recently, and I think I'm very early with that. I think I'm too comfortable. Like, when the 7 weeks you were away, I took probably two shits in the house with the door closed.
Yeah. Why'd you close the door? Why'd you even take those two?
I don't know. I think it was just habit.
Yeah, yeah. I like having the door open when I'm home alone in case intruders come in and I'm quicker to move around and stuff. I like being aware of what's going on.
You know, that's the reason why I don't grease the hinges on my door.
So I can hear
when the door opens.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
But that's how stupid paranoid I am.
I don't think you're stupid, man. I've thought about putting bells on the front and back door. Like, Mum used to have decorative bells on the back door so she could hear me leaving the house.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad idea.
It is.
I was reading a news article today. There's this slimy fucking 50-year-old criminal. He's wanted for about 27 break and enters, and he's at large in Wagga at the moment, knocking on doors in Central, Coringal, between like 7 in the morning and midday. And if you answer the door, you know, the classic just excuse. If you're not home, he'll try and go in the back door.
Wow.
So, it's not such a silly idea.
Good luck knocking on my door. I never answer it.
That's why we always have to go to the post office and collect our packages.
It's because I'm in bed.
I suppose you are six steps from the front door.
It's rough. I'm not doing that shit.
Especially in winter.
Fuck that. It's cold now.
Mm.
All right, so decorative bells, I can get on board with.
The first fucking decorative thing in this
security
house.
Like, there's an old man doing that. Have you heard about, there was a string of robberies, I don't know where, I think it was like somewhere in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And they never made a big deal out of it because nothing happened. So what it was, and it went, like, I don't know how many it was, but it was over like 6 months or so, and there was at least a dozen break-ins.
Yeah.
Nothing was ever taken.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was harmed. What he would do is he would get like baby powder and just stand at the owner's bed and sprinkle baby powder around his feet so that they knew that he was there, and then he would leave.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I was going to say, I was thinking that maybe he'd just go in there and look around a bit and stuff.
Jack off in the shampoo.
Yeah, something
he
like
that. He probably
did
that. Definitely. Like, you do that thing as the prank, and then you're like, I'm going to fuck. Imagine
that's
the regret
fucked,
though, you'd feel after. You'd be, oh, fuck it. Why am I
coming into a shampoo bottle in a stranger's house?
Because it's hot.
You're not going to get looked after in prison, are you?
Yeah.
I remember at music camp, I pissed in someone's toothpaste. He'd been doing, like, we'd been fucking with each other, but I pissed in his toothpaste.
Toothpaste is not something you can get away with pissing in.
Yeah, it was, you could piss in it. It was like half empty.
No. You're misinterpreting what I mean. Slightly yellow liquid in with thick white paste.
But it's not it wasn't like a see-through packet.
Mm.
It wasn't a see-through tube. So I could piss into it. And he couldn't know. And like I said, I'm always pretty well hydrated. It wouldn't have been yellow, mate. It would have been a nice, clear piss. And he brushed his teeth with it. Yeah. Very satisfying.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Oh, I remember that. And he didn't even taste it or anything. Must have been good toothpaste.
Or a good stream. Yeah. Maybe you're getting all the vitamins and minerals that you need.
I try.
No excretion.
I try. I definitely try. Every now and then I'll take a multivitamin, do a fluoro piss and worry about my health. And then 10 minutes later go, oh, that's right, I took a multivitamin. You ever do that? I've done it before, taking a bright yellow piss and going, what the fuck am I doing? I've got to start eating better. This is ridiculous.
I can't remember what it was, but for some reason I pissed in a bottle and I don't know why. It had something to do with it, and friends of ours saw it.
Why?
And went, this, and it was bad. I was very dehydrated at that time. Oh, it looks like whiskey.
Fuck. So it was like beyond the normal yellow hue.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that, just a little shade darker.
Okay.
Like King of the Hill. Like King of the Hill skin tone compared to The Simpsons.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I getcha. That's weird.
Simpsons being healthy yellow.
Yeah. King of the Hill being unhealthy.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Rust.
It was like six years ago or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, not the healthiest time in my life.
One of our friends has a lemon tree, but he lives in a place where it's not so easy to just go outside and piss on it. You know how piss is good for citrus trees? So he'd piss in a bottle in his little apartment, save it up, and then go and water the tree with it. He lives with his girlfriend. I would have been very happy if he'd have convinced her to get in on that. How do you broach that topic?
What is that bottle?
You want a Corona? Yeah, sure, I'd love a Corona. Fucking old popper. Wedge your lemon in there. You like that? Oh, yeah, I wouldn't drink one without it. Okay. Piss in this for me so I can water the lemon tree and get great wedges. That's how I'd bring it up anyway.
That's good. That's good marketing. Yeah, exactly. Because you're showing the finished product. They're enjoying it.
They've already answered the question in their head. They've already said, yes, I'd support that.
That's right. And then by the time they say no, they're being illogical.
Exactly. And they've already got a bottle up there. Jokes on them.
Oh, boy. Sorry. Better than across the face.
True. There's only a couple of assaults on Anzac Day.
Oh, really? How many? Yeah.
Only four. Only four people. In Wagga.
In Wagga, yeah.
Probably more elsewhere. Haven't heard of a good bottling for a while. Hopefully it's died down a bit because it is the fucking worst thing in the world.
I've definitely been angry enough that I've thought about things like that, but...
Oh, yeah, everyone fucking goes, plays it through in their head, but...
Yeah, yeah, it's still the fucking dumbest. Ah, it's a shame.
It's a shame. Remember when JL and Ray from Ross's Barbers got assaulted?
That's right, yeah.
They hit JL with a table, with one of the little tables there in the back of his head to knock him out, and then just ran. Anatolia Kebabs was the only building on that... On Baylor Street. Is that the street? Baylor Street?
Yeah.
The main street? Without CCTV.
Yeah.
So the only CCTV was from outside that caught these dudes running, and then they were like hugging and high-fiving and stuff.
Jesus
what
Christ.
What the fuck gets you to that point in your life?
Who are these people? That's what I don't...
I don't know anyone who does shit like this. I don't know. And I know, you know... A lot of people.
I've known you for 20 years.
Mm.
If you, like, went after... Well, like, there was a bit of backstory about some... they said some things to some women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so, these dudes, the ones who got assaulted, were in the right, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, if you hit somebody in the head with a table and they were on the ground and then you ran away... And I was with you. I wouldn't be giving you a high five.
No way. It would play out like, a lot differently.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ.
So, bottles are better for pissing in and watering your lemon trees.
Yeah,
than hitting people across the fucking head.
Unless you want to go on a boys trip with your footy mates and your missus is getting in your shit about it.
Yeah.
Then that's totally justified.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy pissing outside so much that I've thought about planting a lemon tree. Just because I'm like, well, I piss outside all the time anyway. I may as well fucking grow lemons.
Is that a real thing, though?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I always thought it was like a joke. Oh, lemon tree. It's a thing.
No, I don't think it's just lemons. I think it's citrus fruit. You've put a seed of doubt in my mind because I am just taking his word for it. I've heard it elsewhere. I definitely have heard it before. Somebody verify that. Either way, I know it doesn't help soil. So.
It doesn't, yeah?
Well, nothing's grown out there and I've pissed in that same spot for 4 years. So
Maybe your stream's not as clear as we've heard.
Yeah, maybe there's not enough vitamins.
Mm. Right. That was it. We talked about doing a most offensive joke contest last week.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't discussed it again since.
Did I tell you mine?
No. No, do you want to hold on to it until we do the contest? Or do you want
to... No, I'll hold on to it. I'll try and accumulate some. Cause
okay, good.
This was like the third joke in a list of offensive jokes. And I was like, that's funny. I'll keep that. But yeah, I think I can...
All right, sweet. Yeah, we should do something. Like we heard some positive feedback about the Adam and Milk shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So we might offer one of those shirts and, I don't know, some stickers, a mug, something. We're looking to doing some merch.
Absolutely. Look after some people. Because we don't advertise.
No. Yeah, that's something we never talked about. Well, I've brought it up on the last
mentioned in passing.
But yeah, the we never advertised on YouTube. There's 2.5 hours of content on our YouTube channel, which is put together and edited. So there's 2.5 hours of content, and you can add a further for every 5 minutes on there. There is at least 7 hours of effort, 7 hours of work behind
at
that.
At least.
So, there's a lot of hours that we've put into that, and we asked nothing in return other than we just want to make our thing better.
Yeah.
And the same thing's going to happen with this. We're not going to do any ads on here. We don't think we're going to at the moment.
None that aren't. We've got a few ad pictures in mind, but they're all sketches. They're all just funny sketches.
Yeah.
They're not really advertisements.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but it's not our intention to come on and sell shit. Because that's... I don't know. I used to be fine with it. I used to be absolutely fine with people on podcasts and stuff selling their ads. And now I've switched over and I'm going, what the fuck are you doing? Like, because the whole point of the podcast thing is it's like a conversation.
Yeah, it's so, not radio.
Yeah.
We got sick of radio. We got sick of ads and radio hack bits.
That's why everyone tunes out of the when they're watching TV during the ad.
Yeah, we muted it. We used to mute it.
And at least the ads... all right, so it used to be people would get paid and they'd put a thing and, it'd be a sitcom and the housewife would be like, oh, I'm cooking dinner tonight and we're using Kellogg's brand, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And she would, it was in the show. And then everyone went, don't do that anymore. So they gave a separate area for advertising. And so you have a set ad so you know where it is.
Yeah.
So now... they're doing it in podcasting. They're doing the same thing and it's going to go through the same process. And I think we need to come out ahead of that because it's smart and it's... Yeah. I think it's smart.
I don't mind the way Rogan does it because he doesn't do it in the interview. Mm. Records it separately, puts it at the start, and then you get to listen to the whole...
And I skip that every time.
You just know to skip to about 7 minutes and the podcast starts. Yeah. It's good. And he would know too that people do that and that's why he does it.
Yeah.
Remember he had a guest on once and someone's like, oh, we're just going to start. No. He's like, no, I'll do all that later.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, exactly. Shit Town was a good podcast, but they had ads in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it just fucking kills all the momentum dead. You know.
It's like, imagine, well, that's the whole thing. It is like a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what's enjoyable about it. And then imagine having a conversation with somebody and then halfway through they open up their jacket and start trying to sell you the Dollar Shave Club thing. Just sign up and it'll give you this. And because you know me, you'll get a discount on it. Exactly. No, fuck off.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Exactly.
You'd walk away. You'd walk away from that person.
You know what she said? What? I'll tell you after this. And just fuck off for 15 seconds and come back. It kills the... The podcasts... It's the perfect opportunity for a different medium and they just want to turn it into the same shit that we've been recycled forever.
Yeah.
Ever since TV turned into it, radio turned into it, the movie theaters turned into it.
Yeah.
Now we've got podcasts and they're doing the same fucking shit that everyone turned away from in the first place. So, fuck that. Yeah, we'll get some merch. It's fun.
We want to find a way to... we still need to monetize it somehow because we want to... Once we have a show that's good enough... that people are willing to pay for. That's the goal.
Of their own accord.
Yeah. We don't want to... I still don't want to make it a subscription thing, so we're thinking like a donation, something like that, maybe. maybe something just bonus content, because there is going to be more shows. There is going to be more than just one episode of Unpleasant a week eventually.
Yeah.
That's it. We're going to build it up to it so it is something worthwhile. And then once we can actually get this happening more, we will go back to doing sketches because we'll have more time.
Exactly.
Because we won't have to... Because we work. We both work jobs and do this outside of that.
Full time, essentially.
Yeah, between us.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, between all of our jobs.
Different different schedules.
Mm.
But we both work full time. We would have come home and do all the other shit. Try and fit in entertaining stuff for free that we've invested in. So, I don't know. Are you more likely to donate when it's just an option? I like the pay what you think it's worth.
Mm.
I like that. Radiohead did an album like that once, where you downloaded it and you could pay nothing, or you could pay $1,000 if you wanted to.
Yeah, I like that.
Not a bad little system. Yeah.
The Patreon system's an okay one because it just works for subscription. But I think at the moment I'd go $2 a month, something like that. I don't know. I probably shouldn't be throwing numbers out before we've even discussed it at all in private. But like, I don't know. But then again, I don't want to do a show that is so cheap.
Yeah.
I want to make it so that it's a show that's worth paying more.
Yeah, exactly.
That's worth paying that for. So, I don't know. We'll work all that out
at another point.
But, yeah, no, we never want to do like a $30 a month thing.
Fuck no.
That's rubbish.
But in amongst all of this discussion and working out, we're still producing stuff.
Yeah.
We're still doing shows every week. We're still coming up with things, so.
All right. Anyway. I already talked about shitting myself.
Then we talked about pissing.
Yep.
We've talked about being available.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. I'm going to bring it back because I forgot about it the last couple of episodes. Adam and Milk, Unpleasant, the most offensive podcast in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes.
Because the most offensive podcast on Earth is The Legion of Skanks,
mm-hmm.
as they've titled it. And it is a great idea. Okay. They did it just because... it stops people listening and going, they talk about horrible things. Yeah, that's part of it's in the name.
Yeah.
Most offensive podcast. That's what it is.
Exactly.
That's what it does. That's why everyone's okay with roasts. Like, they've really pushed comedy down to a really dull level where you can't go to a certain amount of topics, to a lot of topics now. But roasts have gotten more and more popular.
Yeah.
And all it is categorization.
Yeah.
Where they've gone, oh, no, but this is what it's meant to be.
Yeah, this is meant to be the most horrible.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's just like a safe zone for jokes. But that's why I still like it when people are outside roast being that offensive.
Yeah.
I showed somebody the Gilbert Gottfried roast of Joan Rivers, where he talked about Robin Quivers and her getting molested by her father.
Yeah.
And talking about how his molestation standards were very low.
Yeah. And he was ashamed
that
he had to molest her because she was so unattractive. That's, that can't exist outside of a roast in like today's climate, can it?
It's, definitely not.
Yeah.
So funny. But, I mean, that's where I'm on a different page as well. When Seinfeld came out and said he won't play colleges for comedy anymore.
Yeah.
Because the crowds are too scared of certain topics and things.
Too PC.
Yeah. And a lot of people went after him, like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to read a room. And and there was an article that got posted, and it really annoyed me at the time. And it was saying that comedians are lazy and they are the problem, really. Because the whole point is to introduce people to these topics in a funny way and make them appreciate it. And I'm like, exactly. I had that reaction. But then I thought about it a little more and I'm like, yeah, because nobody wanted Richard Pryor to succeed.
Mm.
He was a black guy talking about being raised by a prostitute in the ghetto.
Yep.
Those were some pretty taboo things.
In the 70s.
Yeah. So he did some, like, that was some real shit that he brought up there. And I'm like, okay, so I get it. I think both sides have a thing where some people are not going to get won over, no matter what.
Yeah.
And so, I think part of it is just keep doing it anyway. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm on the bandwagon now of comedians are fags.
Okay.
Where I'm just done with most of them.
Yeah. I get what Jerry was saying with the college crowd, though, because they're so preconceived.
Mm.
No, not many of them are going into those situations wanting to enjoy it.
Exactly. Like we talked about last week, where people, everyone in hospitality knows when somebody is out to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, is out to have a good time or not. And when they're not, it's so obvious.
You can read it like a book. And it's the same with those comedy shows. You know if someone's there to laugh or just to be...
to be outraged.
Outraged, yeah.
Just like Dave Chappelle on his new things, and he was talking... He did an amazing thing where he... in the first one, he addressed... like, maybe it wasn't the best thing for the show, but for audiences at home to get reintroduced to Dave Chappelle, he spent the first 20 minutes or so talking about the things they'd heard about him in the last... you know, a couple of years, him bombing in Detroit and getting booed off stage and everything like that. And he addressed it and he did it in a really funny way. So I'm like, that was a powerful play that he made there because it was very funny and he risked the show a little bit, but he had to address everything. It's like when, I forget the guy's name, but he's a dwarf and he does comedy or a goblin. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't even remember. A gremlin?
I don't know. Are they Irish?
No, I don't know.
Well, yeah, when he gets up on stage, little guy.
Yeah.
And he...
has he got the short little arms or is he in proportion?
Yeah. No, huge head.
Big head. Okay. Yeah,
so kind of in proportion.
So he's
in
a dwarf. Proportion.
Yeah. So he pretty much has to do a certain amount of...
dwarf jokes.
Yeah, he just has to get them out of the way to begin with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get that because it's like seeing somebody new for the first time. They just have to get it out of the way and then he can move on to his other material.
It's like Steady Eddie.
Exactly. Steady Eddie is going to be doing some shaky
humor. Yeah, he's going to be making jokes about his propensity to shaking because we're going to notice.
Yeah, and he's got to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that was what Dave did with that first part of the show. He addressed it, talking about bombing and getting booed off stage. First of all, I didn't get booed off stage. I stayed up there.
Yeah.
I didn't go anywhere. Yeah,
I wasn't drunk. I was high.
Yeah. I just smoked some reefer with some wrappers. very, very funny. And he talks about trannies. He calls people fags.
Yeah.
And it's the sake.
Uses the wrong pronouns.
Yeah. He got attacked for it.
Yep.
And who cares?
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, that's.
And that's what he's always done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he's meant to do. But yeah, in the thing, he talks about the woman standing up and going, "Fuck you, Dave Chappelle."
That's a shame.
But
not for him, though.
No, he didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. That's always successful in comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about addressing the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. And going, well, this is awkward, but it's also funny. Here are some other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And now all relaxed.
Yeah, and just getting everyone, like, that's part of what it is. Yeah, anyway, that's why I think comedians are kind of, a lot of them are fags. I like using the word fag.
Maybe
too.
Just Marc Maron. He's a fag.
Fuck
Marc Maron.
Nah. I don't know. I don't know how, I don't think people actually find him funny. I don't think he's a successful comedian. I think he's a successful... he's definitely got a successful podcast.
Yeah.
But it's...
he's had Bruce Springsteen on his podcast.
Yeah.
For me, that's...
Nick Cave.
Obama.
Yeah, Obama.
What the fuck? They talk for like an hour. I'm sure they had about three things they could talk about. I don't know what they were.
So you're black, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what Marc Maron's voice sounds like. I've heard him... oh, no, it's whiny. I know that much.
Whiny. Everything about him's whiny. Yeah. He just gives that vibe.
Just that constant, that constant whine of my life is a mess. That's the thing. They all brag about how messed up they are and their lives are, but then get on board and tell everyone else how they should think and how they should live their lives.
Exactly.
What? Pick a side. Either you are the fucked up one, and that's what makes you funny and everything. But that means you can't tell other people how to fucking be because you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, you should stay out of emotions and politics.
Yeah, yeah. Tell
and that's what they love talking about most.
That's
let them talk about music. If you're that fucked up, you probably have a good taste in music. That's how, seems to work that way. But you probably aren't the best person to talk to about politics.
And that's why I was interested in hearing Nick DiPaolo on Rogan's podcast. See, this is going to be the thing on our show is we're going to talk about other shows.
Yeah, because they're good.
Yeah, that's what I do. I like podcasts. Anyway, Nick DiPaolo on Joe Rogan. And they had a little chat about how they got looked down upon by a lot of comedians because they were the sort of in shape guys.
Yeah.
And it was like threatening to the slob comedians because they're funny. But, yeah. And they're good looking. And I get that. I know, because it's annoying when you meet a good looking dude who's very nice and everything. And you're like, oh, fuck you. I can't compete with you.
You know, he's hung.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
really,
dick.
Yeah, really hits the spot.
Yeah.
And it sucks to compete with. So I get that. But you can't not acknowledge that those dudes are fucking funny.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm so much more likely to listen to Rogan talk about things that aren't just comedy, aren't just him being funny, because he's clearly like an in-shape dude.
Yeah.
He's very successful in his life.
Works hard.
Still married, unlike every other comedian.
Happily married.
Yeah.
Which is something else altogether.
So, like, I'm not going to listen to him. And I don't know. Mm. This is just me wanting them to go, go fuck yourself.
That's why I want those guys who are the slobs, to just be funny.
Yeah, yeah. Rely on that.
I don't need to hear...
Then I'm still happy to,
yeah,
to listen to them then.
Like, that's why I like Kyle Kinane, because he's a fat slob and he's based his career on it. And he still, like, he hates the comedians who get involved in politics and give relationship advice. He's like, this is what we are. Just eat burgers and want to kill yourself and talk about it on Twitter because it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. That's and what it is supposed to be.
It'll keep us all on board.
And it keeps the balance then, because then the guys like Nick DiPaolo and Rogan are there as well to help balance it out, because really we shouldn't be paying that much attention to either of them when it comes to politics or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still windows into it, but that's where, like, it's necessary to a point where it's like an introductory thing, where it's like, oh, I like this comedian, and they're talking about some things that you might not have ever heard of before, and you go, oh, okay, I'm going to look into it a little bit more.
That's it, yeah.
And then you go back to it and you go, Jesus, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but at least it's a window.
Yeah.
And then it, oh, that is interesting. I'll do my own little research on that. So, yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, we've probably gone to time here. I think I'm about out of... bad out of juice.
Okay.
What, have you got anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Oh, well, we might as well wrap it up.
My bladder's about to burst, I know that, but...
Nothing out of the ordinary.
No.
So, Adam and Milk on Twitter, Facebook, / Adam and Milk.
Adam and Milk.
Milky Fest on Twitter.
Papa Jake. Oh, no, real Papa Jake on Twitter, Papa Jake on Snapchat. You'll have to add me, though. I've had to make it so I can only get snaps from friends, because there's a gaming guy, a fucking dude on YouTube who makes videos playing, like, video games, and his handle is Papa Jake. So I get all these kids, I promise, thinking that I'm Papa Jake from the video games, and they send me Snapchats like, hey Papa Jake, I'm your biggest fan, I'm watching your videos right now. I just like, I'm not him. And it got past the level where I could just decline. There's just so many, so I had to left add me.
I think we've got a new guest for the show, because we're gonna have to get that dude on to talk
exactly
about this.
I'm gonna have to, yeah, I could show him. I'll scroll through.
Yeah.
We this is to. Fan mail he's not getting that I have to deal with now.
That's true. Maybe you've got to give up your Snapchat to him.
Well, he can buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Being fucking, that's how we'll make money. Yeah. Keep making those videos on GTA 5, you cunt. I've got your fucking Snapchat handle.
All right, well, I guess we'll close out by saying the Holocaust wasn't real.